On the show today, we have Netwatcher Scott Suey talking about the latest cybercrime trends, and my gosh, it's going to make your head spin, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Netwatcher Scott Suey, Chief Executive Officer. How are you, Scott?
Very good. Thanks, Mike.
Good, good. Good to have you on the show. You are going to be presenting at the CU InfoSecurity Conference coming up in June. And it's a really, really cool show. It's going to be here in San Diego, actually, in my neck of the woods. Can you give us a quick summary on what you're going to be presenting there at the show?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about compliance, what the credit unions have to deal with, obviously, and how they can do a little bit more in regards to continuous monitoring. The GBLA, obviously, are the acts that kind of help the credit unions and banks figure out what they have to do.
Yeah.
The FFIEC comes in and gives you guidelines, and all that is very difficult to figure out for any of these folks. And it's very complicated, and we've tried to make it very simple because we do continuous monitoring, and we try to bring it to the middle market and to the smaller businesses. And we do it in a unique sort of way, but we have to speak the same language that our customers speak.
Yep.
And so what I'm going to try to do is talk about some of these pains that folks have and give them some ideas about how to fix it or how to deal with it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because what are a couple of pains that credit unions are experiencing right now, or even banks as well, but I mean, financial institutions in general, what's going on out there that they're just racking their brains on?
Well, obviously, the one that the credit unions talk a lot about, and I think there's the Data Security Act of 2015 that a lot of people are behind, is what's happening at the merchant side of things. That causes a lot of pain, obviously, on the credit union side of the equation. When a Target or a Home Depot gets attacked and gets hacked, the credit unions and the banks have to deal with all that. So obviously, that's probably the biggest issue. And the secondary issue to that is, you know, there are people out there that want to attack the credit union, and they want it for one of two reasons. They either want to get a bunch of data that they can utilize and exploit, number one, or they just want to lock the place down and get them to pay to let it open again.
Isn't that ransomware? Isn't that what's
it's ransomware, and it's just getting started. You know, when the full-blown commercial crime gets involved in that stuff, it's just going to take off. We're just seeing the beginnings of it, right?
Oh my gosh. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning anymore. This is just too scary for me. Can we just go back to cash and we'll be just fine?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So what trends are we seeing right now? You mentioned ransomware and a couple other. Are there any other trends that we should be aware of in dealing with cybercrime right now? Because it's, like you said, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, there's a couple trends that I talk a lot about that have been there for a while but are continuing. The first one is there's not enough security engineers that understand cybersecurity exist in the world. Most all of them have gone to work for J.P. Morgan, the bigger banks, the bigger organizations, and there aren't enough out there in the middle market and the small business market. And even if there was, they're unaffordable. Their salaries are above $100,000 a year, and no credit union can afford that type of thing.
Right.
Second thing is the technology to do advanced security is very expensive as well. And so if you're dealing with some of these vendors, you know, some of the very large cyber vendors, their platforms cost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and no small regional bank or credit union can afford such things. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it and you start digesting, and I think this is, you know, a major trend, is the old tools that people are used to don't work anymore. So you've got the typical antivirus that, you know, people are used to deploying. Well, now there's crypting services that are free on the internet. And any bad actor, if they want to deploy some type of ransomware out there, they go through a crypting service that gets around any antivirus program.
Wow.
And these are free, so anybody can use them. And so when the tools stop working that were commodity tools that people rely on, that's a big problem. I think another trend is ransomware, but not just ransomware. It's ransomware as a service. So if you look on the dark web, you'll find all these services, and there's actually ads for them. use our ransomware as a service, and you download the binary from them. They change the binaries all day long, every day, and a bad actor will go grab it. Their job is to deploy it, and when the ransom's collected, it's collected by the service organization and split with the bad actor.
Oh, my gosh.
And these things are being promoted quite a bit. And so it's not just ransomware that's bad. It's the entire supply chain behind it. Mm-hmm. Have to really understand. This is major organized crime with hundreds of millions of dollars being made every day. And so getting underneath all that, if you want to keep going, I've got a bunch of other. But the last one that I think really, really gets me and keeps me up at night is that there's an unintentional insider threat. Inside all these organizations, there's a bunch of human beings. Mm-hmm. Those human beings do all day long is they click on phishing messages, they go to nefarious websites, they download binaries, they install ransom or software that's insecure. Yeah. They're using software that is risky. Like I'll give you an example, just outdated Flash or outdated Java.
Yeah.
You can get ransomware just by going to a site. And so these are the things you got to keep the employees trained, right? The employees understand what they're looking for. And then you have to have the technology underneath it all, inspecting it and looking for it and bringing it to fruition so you can change behavior.
Man, keeping up with this is like, I'm trying to think of an analogy, but I don't know if there is one. It's kind of like a marathon race or a track race or something like that, where, you know, the fraudsters are Usain Bolt. I hate to use that as an example because seems like a good guy and Olympic champion stuff. But gosh, it's like keeping up with Usain Bolt. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh my gosh, you know, what's next? What's around the corner?
Well, at the end of the day, this whole thing can boil down to one thing. It's the behavior of individuals in the organization and bad actors taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
And the lack of the tools to increase the behavior and be able to protect the behavior and people from themselves.
And it just takes one person, and it's just a totally innocent thing that you could do, have no idea. Oh my gosh. So what can credit unions do to protect themselves? You mentioned a couple of things, you know, train your employees, have the software and all that type of stuff. Looking out for this type of stuff. So
I'd say the most important thing, and I think this is actually happening everywhere already, the NCUA, actually with the FFIEC, they have a tool, right, that all credit unions can use.
Yeah.
The tool has a lot to do with policies and procedures, and it has to do a lot with technology that you can bring into the organization to help with some of this mm-hmm. stuff. So really taking advantage of that tool and what it provides,
mm-hmm.
number one. And I'm seeing that in all the credit unions and regional banks. So that's kind of underway, and I think it's been there for a little bit now. So that's number one. Number two is a lot of these organizations rely on IT to be in charge of cybersecurity. That is so wrong. IT is not responsible for risk. The people in the banks and the credit unions responsible for risk are business people.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the types of people that need to be responsible for this problem and really solving this problem for an organization. So I'd say designate somebody from a business stature, an executive responsible for this.
Okay.
And number three, training. Number four, making sure your liability insurance, especially the cyber insurance riders,
mm-hmm.
first and third party riders are up to snuff and are effective for the credit union. That would be a really important one. I'd say, you know, getting your vendor profiles underway,
mm-hmm.
And understand the risk of the vendors. You know, the story that always gets told is the HVAC vendor brought the malware into Target, right? Well, that happens everywhere, right? And think about how many organizations that a credit union works with that might have the credit union's data, or how many organizations does the credit union have the data of?
Mm-hmm.
It works both ways.
Right.
How do you ensure that entire supply chain is protected? And so that would be one. And then the last one is how you really, how you're dealing with all the nuances of maintenance. So for instance, all the routers, they have firmware that keeps getting updated. The Wi-Fi has firmware that has updating. The servers, the Windows machines, you know, we talked about outdated Flash and outdated Java. How do you ensure those things stay updated? How do you ensure that your organization doesn't allow people to just run any nefarious software they want to download? How do you look inside the email to keep people from clicking on phishing messages? So this is what I just refer to as cyber hygiene, managing that cyber hygiene. It's not really expensive to do it, if done in the right way. And then you need tools like ours, obviously, to manage and look at all that stuff.
Well, that segues to the next question. I mean, I want to give you guys a quick little plug here. What, can you give folks out there a quick summary on NetWatcher and what you guys are all about?
Sure. Gartner puts us in this category of managed detection and response. It's really managed cybersecurity, but with a whole lot of automation on top of it. So when we built this company several years ago, we said, if the middle market was to do a much better job on cybersecurity, what has to happen? The first one thing is it has to be easy to use. It has to be easy to deploy because there aren't cybersecurity people in these organizations. And so those are two really important things. A third one is accuracy. The tools have to be really accurate. Have you ever heard of the false positive problem or event fatigue? These are big company problems. Little companies, when you say false positive, they're thinking, you just lied to me. Right? Well, a big company will just hire another security engineer. A little company, they can't have false positives, right? And so accuracy needs to be really good. And last but not least, it has to be affordable. And that's where the automation comes in. So when we built the company, we said, these are our four tenets. How do we utilize those four tenets to build something that everybody could use? And we started with the automation. And so think about this. We put sensors into the credit union's network. And those sensors listen for behavior. And as it finds behavior, it starts formulating a plan and then alerts the organization that there is an issue, tells them what type of issue is, do about the issue, and it helps them through the problem. And then there are security analysts on the back end that work with the customer on those issues. And so it's 80% automation, 20% security analysts working with our customer base. And we do it for, and we've reduced the cost dramatically, and it's 24/7, and we have a lot of happy customers. So where some organizations would have to pay $10,000 a month for this type of thing, we can actually get it down to the very small organizations, you know, $300 a month or more.
Wow, that's really that's really good. Because I was thinking while you were talking about that, it's like the silver lining to all this, if you're a college student right now and you're getting ready to graduate, my gosh, go into the cybersecurity field. Holy smokes. And work for a big bank or a big, you can do quite well for yourself, or do what you guys did and open your own firm. My gosh.
There's a big supply and demand problem with the security talent for sure.
Wow. Well, on that note, we're going to go get all secured up here and protect ourselves the best we can. So, well, thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate the time. Great information, sure. And look forward to your presentation at the CU Info Security Conference in June out here in San Diego.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.